Welcome to Fly Cool Shit, the show where Jeff Petro and Mark Pollard talk about aerobatics, unique airplanes, aviation news, and so much more. Hey pilot, you're clear to enter the box. Smoke on.
Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of Fly Cool Shit powered by Lyft Aviation. I'm Mark.
And I'm Jeff.
And you're freezing.
Dude, well, it's not too bad today. It's windy. It's like, you know, there's zero wind and it's sub-zero temperature. And then it's like 45 and it's gusting 40.
So yeah.
Can't win them all.
Tis the season, huh?
Yeah, it is what it is.
What are you gonna talking do? To somebody yesterday about, we're just chatting about Mikey G. Mostly about his hair, but some flying stuff did come up. How nice. Funny would that be if his legacy was just how great his hair was over all of his flying accomplishments, which he's like, again, he's on the Mount Rushmore of just aviation legends, I feel like, you know. But yeah. It'd just be really funny if he was just people just remembered him for his hair instead of his flying.
Thank us for that.
Yeah. Yeah, but I was just thinking, like, oh, he's, you know, everybody's kind of doing their winter maintenance thing. Like, I'm sure, like, he's probably getting ready to think about going down and finding some warmer weather down south in Florida or Louisiana to kind of start training and gearing up. Like, you know, everybody in California doesn't have an off season, and we're certainly, well, we're not getting the off season for rain. Maybe Southern California due to the fires, which have gotten better. Okay. You know, Canada is hibernating. The East Coast, you guys are kind of maybe getting a day in here and there, but not much, right? Weather's been kind of
not too much. It's good. I mean, I kind of feel bad for the airplane. So, you know, once a month, if I can get it out, I do. But I don't know. I was actually, it's funny we're talking about this because I'm thinking about actually doing that winter breather tube conversion. It's just the plane gets so freaking messy. I had it on my other extra.
Yeah.
But I think I'm going to go for it and just deal with the mess.
I wish there was a way to do that. I mean, I think people do. I did fly one that was plumbed for both, but that's a pain in the ass too. But dude, the winter breather it's so much better in general for peace of mind. Cause you just don't know when that weather, you know, like you just don't know when that temperature is going to be. Obviously it has to freeze, but like, you don't know when it always happens when you're not expecting it. You're like, exactly. Oh, it's probably going to be fine. You end up climbing up a little bit too much, or maybe that there's a, you know, a non-standard temperature variation or something like that. And then boom, you end up freezing it up, freezing the plug up and, or freezing the tube up and then blowing blowing the whatchamacallit on the block or worse. Yeah, I'm kind of a bigger fan of the winter setup. It is more of a mess,
but you know,
especially for you guys, man, doing a bunch of outside stuff. I look back at how much shit is coming out of the tail of my airplane when I do just what I do, and it's like, oh man, you guys are dumping a quart and a half of flight.
Especially with like you know, you do like a shit ton of like rollers, but like legit rollers with a ton of pedal, and god, that thing,
that poor Crested Eagle system is just like, which way do you want me to go, dude? Which way do you want me to go, dude?
Yeah, I mean, it's everything's out. Like time and money, right? So like, there's a way. I don't want to explain this wrong, and I'm sorry for bastardizing it, but there's a way. I think Sky Dynamics made a swinging oil pickup for the sump, but there's also a pump that runs off the accessory case that it's like a scavenger and pumps it back into the system. Okay. That's what Rob has. A friend of mine helped on the design on that.
Oh, that's pretty sick.
Yeah, it's just like the pump. I think I'm sorry for people that actually know what I'm talking or know what this is. But I think it's off a helicopter Lycoming or something like that. Hmm. And they're not, you can't find a lot of them. I don't think there's a lot of the pumps around. So I do want to do that. Just, I think that would also help with the mess too. Uh-huh. So it's good we're talking this out loud because I'm kind of figuring things out. But time and money,
in theory,
right?
Like it's really interesting. You know, I, you know, people that work on race cars understand this concept too. But like blow by is a function of, you know, certain engine types. And, yeah, you know, our engines, these engines are, for lack of a better word, and please don't sue me, Lycoming and Continental, but, you know, aircraft engines are the loosest, oldest technology piles of shit that we have to spend so much money for. But, you know, most of the accessories around it are crude too. You know, it's like this, having a pickup or like a closed, a dry sump system, or, you know, there's so many other things that you could do other than just have an engine that just naturally has blow by, right? All these engines have natural blow by, but that Christian Eagle system is so rudimentary. I mean, it's a clever system. It works well, but it's not efficient at all. And that's why you get this massive blow by. I mean, anytime you go upright to inverted or inverted to upright, you know, that ball is shifting and closing up a port. You have this, it's just a very, there's a lot of loss in the transition from upright to inverted. So I didn't know Rob had something different. I just assumed everybody kind of had this Christine, now Teledyne, right? Cause they bought them, but, or did Teledyne buy it or Textron? One of them bought the Christian Eagle rights and manufacture it now. But, I actually didn't know that Rob and some others were running something different.
Yeah, it's just a slight difference. I mean, but again, I don't know the real science behind it and stuff like that. I just know enough to like make myself sound stupid with regurgitating somebody else that's brilliant on it. But but yeah, there is a swing and oil pickup, I believe, and then that accessory case pump will pump it back into the system as well with the I just don't know how it's plumbed or anything like that. Yeah. But again, like then it's like, oh well, how much is it? And then geez, like I can't afford to do that or whatever. So figure it out. But it would be nice, you know, to not have to just come back from a flight and have the thing pissing all over your ramp. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah. Well, not my current airport, I don't hear much about it, but like I think I've talked about this before, but like when the airplane was at the previous airport, the owner of the hangars, there's like that airport's really split weird. So it's got a couple like westerly runways, but then it's got two parallel north-south runways, and the hangars are basically divided on you have hangars on the east side of the airport and then on the west side of the airport. So nothing really north-south. And you can really draw a line in between those two runways and draw some clear property lines. So like everything east hangar wise is owned by the city. Everything west is private. And there's two owners. One is this guy and then who owns like half of the west side hangars. The other is like literally an HOA company, like a housing. I'm not even kidding. Owns the other half of these hangars. And
yeah.
The hangar I rented was from this guy that just happened to have bought a bunch of these hangars. Of course, you know, great move because he's collecting a bunch of money, you know,
right.
What a fucking investment that was. But I'd come back from a flight on, this is on the tarmac. This isn't even in the hangar. He doesn't own the tarmac, you know, but he'd like cut me shit for like the airplane dropping oil on the ground. I'm like, it's a fucking airplane, dude. Like,
yeah.
Granted, it's like more than like a 172, and I get that, but it's like, it's not even his asphalt. The city never said anything about that, but it was enough to where like he'd see stains and he's like, hey man, your airplane's dropping a bunch of oil. He didn't get it, you know, he didn't understand that it's an aerobatic airplane doing that stuff, but it's a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, I mean, I was on a cross country one time. It's a while ago. I was in the extra 200. I landed at some fancy airport and, you know, like you fill up, you know, I like to fill it up to the top and let it, not siphon out, what you call that? Not the breather, vent out, you know, just fit with that filler neck. just to make sure I have 100% fuel. And so it's sort of coming out of the vent line, and this guy came like running over, like, what are you doing? You can't, that's, you know, I think EPA got thrown around a little bit, and this, I'm like, geez.
Oh boy.
Yeah. Like, I better get out of here.
That's the thing. It's like these air, it's like, dude, shit happens.
Yeah.
You know?
So, but,
extras were always hard to fill, especially the acro tank. You feel above that neck and you're just like, damn it.
I actually made like a contraption, because like with the SC, with the two tanks, it's a lot. So I made, and there's, well, I haven't done it in a while because I don't go out full fuel anymore. But when I first had it, I made like a little like clear line and connected that to the breather, and then whatever came out. It's actually a lot less than you would think. But I mean, money's money, right? So instead of letting it drip all over the ramp, you know, we put it into like a cub or something like that.
Yeah.
Run a cub for like 5 hours.
Yeah. Yeah. it matters.
Yeah, dude. I don't know. I'm frugal like that sometimes. Whatever.
I hate being wasteful. You know, there's one thing that's like, you dump a cord on the ground. It's like, okay. Like, you know, but it's like, I try not to do that on purpose because it's wasteful and it's messy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dude, I'm such a fucking idiot. So, you know, I have 50 funnels in my hangar. 50. You know, there's funnels everywhere. And like, I grab a quart and I'm like, I don't want to grab a funnel. I'm just going to fucking, you know, try to get the quart of oil into the neck before it pours out. Cause it was a little chilly that day. I was like, oh, I got plenty of time. And I go to pour it, and dude, I pour half a quart down the side of the engine.
It oh no.
Billowing out of the bottom. I was like, why did I do that? Why? Yeah.
What am I thinking?
Like, yeah, it's like all I could have just grabbed a funnel. I made way more of a mess and wasted 15 minutes just to at the thought of saving 1 minute to not grab a funnel. So dumb.
But yeah, so I'll report back. Hopefully I'll get something. I'm actually going to call or reach out to Gambit and see what they do, because those guys fly all winter long.
Yeah.
You know, and because I just don't, whatever I do, I want to get advice from somebody who's flown in colder and make sure it's okay. Because, you know, you do something, but then, you know, when things are still in the back of your head a little bit, like, could it freeze up? You know, I just want to be.
One of the big things I did fairing extras was making sure it had that. I would not fly if it had the long breather connected. And I would tape up one oil cooler.
Oh, that's smart.
Yeah, it really seemed to keep the temperatures manageable, because otherwise, it's just like, dude, when you're down in like the tens and the 20s, it takes forever for that oil to warm up. And then, you know, you start pulling back an econ cruise, you're like, dude, the temps are low. You know, it's like not the best.
Right.
Because, for those that don't know, the legacy, I guess the SC probably would too, but most extras that I've seen have two oil coolers. I don't know if the SC does or not, but the L's all did.
This one, I believe, just has one, but okay. Who knows? I'm probably wrong on that too.
You could probably tape, aluminum tape half of it or something like that and keep the temps up. Cause like for mine, my mid-wing in particular, the cylinders, it's never had a cylinder. Dude, the cylinders, even fucking firewalled in the summertime, cylinder temps never go above 400. I mean, they're like 380, 390. So I never have a problem with cylinder temps. It's always oil temp. And it gets hot in the summer, stays cold in the winter.
Huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe, you know, it's like if we could do something like they do with cubs, where maybe extra can make a piece that covers one side of the cowl.
Yeah.
You know, inlet.
Yeah, yeah.
Things like that. But yeah, I gotta fly. I'm just like, I'm jonesing.
I wonder totally what Luke Penner does. Like, or like, you know, I mean, all those guys, like, I think the M14P folks, you know, Ryan Chapman, I think they're kind of stuck when it gets below. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I know people run radials way below that. You know, you got like the dudes like Buffalo Airways, right? Flying DC-3s and C-47s and 46s or whatever, you know, at like minus 50, but like they're heated, preheated, all that stuff. But I was talking to Jared at Gambit, because I don't even know if I, oh yeah, I did. I think I did make a tongue in cheek comment on the last podcast with,
yeah. Because you were there.
Yeah, with Eric. But I texted Jared. I was like, hey, dude, I know it's short notice, no pressure at all, but I want to fly the Model 12 tomorrow. And he's like, the temperature is right on the line. And I can't remember what the temps were, but it was low. But he's like, we don't fly it below, you know, this temp, just because the M14, you know, doesn't like it.
Yeah.
So, you know, I wonder what he'd be a great one to ask, as you said, you know, about, you know, kind of running the extra. But I wonder, like I wonder what Luke's, I'd be really curious to see like what they do, like what, in terms of temp, if the weather's good and the temperature is just cold, how cold is too cold for them to safely operate these airplanes? You know, that this is something that we don't really talk about a whole lot. We always talk about like our comfort, right? Like what's our threshold? Cause I'm going to tap out before the airplane will probably tap out in terms of like being okay to fly, you know, if it's 20s, dude, like on the ground, like, I don't need to fly that bad. I just don't need to fly that bad.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm with you. Dude. But now with all this heated stuff, I got heated socks, heated vest. Be like the Caribbean in the airplane.
Yeah. That helps a bunch. Heated flight suits, great. You know, and if it could get you guys that this really matters to, you know, if you can get another, I don't know, like if you got 10 flights more because you could fly nice during nice days in the winter when it's cold, but the airplane's set up and you're set up, that's a huge, I won't say like advantage, but like it's a huge,
oh dude,
you know, benefit.
Yeah, I mean, you see everybody flying right now in the warm climates, I'm like, oh, you bastard.
Yeah.
And they're like, just bring your plane down. I'm like, dude, what do
you, just bring your plane
bring
down.
Bring my plane down. Like, I have a job and a career. Like, I got to stay up here. I can't just, like, fuck off and fly all winter. And
I kind of have to do money. Stuff.
Yeah.
I know. If I was real balling, I'd just, you know, like, just keep an airplane. Just keep another airplane somewhere.
Dude. Yeah. Well, AJ, I don't have to worry about that in California. That was pretty cool with,
yeah.
You know, last week's episode and stuff.
Yeah, that was really fun, man. Eric's the shit. I really like him a lot. I was surprised to hear that AJ sold the airplane, but I'm guessing in due time, we're probably going to find out that he's going to add something else. And I'm not even being cryptic. I don't know. I'm sure he is, but like, I don't know.
I can tell you right now, I didn't hear anything, but we should definitely, I just haven't had like any time, but I think I'm going to reach out to him and be like, tell me now what you're doing. It's none of my business, but I'm making it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's none of my business, but tell us.
Yeah.
Cause I kind of figured that airplane would have been, you know, and it sounded like it was kind of going down that route of being, you know, hey, now we have an airplane that we can maybe pull together. I say the Unlimited team has an SC to kind of, hey, let's ship this thing and we'll just, or keep it there, right? Or was that Giffords? One of them was like, hey, we're going to keep this thing in Europe, right? For a while? Was that kind of the crazy scuttlebutt?
Yeah.
Which would be a great idea. Hey, speaking of which, no news is bad news in this situation, but there's, at this point, we have to be pretty worried that advanced WAC is not going down, right?
I don't know. I thought that there was scuttlebug that it was going to be in Hungary.
Okay. I hadn't heard that. So it's in the works then.
I think
this is such short notice. God. Hey guys, it's going to be in Hungary. Good luck getting airplanes. Okay. Thanks. Yeah,
bye. We're just going to fly over there for 2 hours and in France. No big deal.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, take apart your plane. Have fun.
What a trip.
What are your plans for, like, what's your goal?
You're right. Oh shit. Okay.
What's your goal this year for for aerobatics. What are you going to do?
Oh, man. Honestly, I don't know, dude. Like, my, I don't know if it's just like winter vibes. I have no motivation to go out and fly. I really don't. I've not had the motivation to go out and fly. I can go fly today. It's, I'm going to piss you off. It's cold, yeah, but I'm going to piss you off with how warm it is. It's 50 degrees right now, high of 57. So totally.
That's not bad.
Great day to fly.
A little chilly.
You throw this, you know, you throw the sweatshirt on, you got the thicker socks, and it's a little chilly, but you know, it's all good. And I'm just like, I'm having trouble bringing myself out to the airport. So I'm trying to figure out what I want to do in that regard. I don't know that it's doing a contest, but I think I do need to have a plan in terms of like, I should train in some way.
You should do like, the, I should have acro a box, and you don't have to physically go to a contest.
I know we were actually talking about going in on one. I gotta reach out to the boys again, and because it's just not that expensive, so we should have one.
The value is incredible.
Incredible. That talk about game changer, right? I mean, in terms of the ability to critique or measure or study a flight, I don't know what else has been better for aerobatics, period.
It's definitely,
you know, obviously eyes on the ground, but like it's great, innovative tool that's got some pretty fun uses. I mean, you know, we talked years ago about a virtual contest, and like, there's just no, this is the way to do it.
Yeah. No, 1,000%.
But you're right. Getting that to kind of get, some fundamentals going, would not be a bad idea.
Yeah.
So I pulled up SIVA's website, and you're right. Hopefully this is all locked in, but it's in Hungary, and I'm not even going to try to pronounce the town.
Oh, they already got it listed.
Yeah. Heves Balaton Airport in Szarmalek, I think, Hungary. Sorry if I'm mispronouncing that, but that's official enough to put it on the, website. Hungarian Aerobatic Club is hosting it. So that's great. I did not, I totally missed. I figured we would have seen something announced or somebody would make a post about it. But this was not, as of the last time we talked about this, must've been with Rob on the podcast. This was not, nothing was, finalized. So this is good news.
That's cool. Who's the coach for the team?
I don't know. Aaron's coaching the Canadians again. So I would imagine he's out with that. Is Jim? I don't think it's Rob. He hasn't been down. They've been doing a lot of work in Florida. I don't know. I really actually don't know.
Yeah,
we need to get some people on.
That would be good.
I want to get Kyle Collins on really bad. We need to get Kyle on.
Yeah, he's a super duper guy.
Let's get him on. There's just so many things to talk about. But not the least of which is, you know,
I think last year though was a big year. That was a fun year. I mean, for the most part.
For the advanced team?
Yeah.
Or just in general?
Well, just in general.
Yeah.
You know, I thought it was great. A great year.
Just a great aerobatic year.
Yeah. Everybody built up themselves. Everybody did well. A lot of flying. A lot of upper category competitors, which is nice. So yeah. I was worried there a couple of years ago. Started really getting low numbers.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah,
I would agree with that. I think the last couple of years too, you know, it's like we were talking about this for a while where it's just like, oh man, contests are canceling. attendance is you know going one way or another. But it seems like, you know, with nationals being so attended, that's a really good sign. And then, you know, airplanes are being bought and sold. It's another good sign. There's movement. People are making the commitments that they need.
Yeah.
You know, for the season. And just as, you know, it's like I made this comment a couple podcasts ago, but it was like, oh, it's like, it doesn't seem like there's the aircraft movement that we saw last year. People maybe aren't making the jump, or it's just not the same kind of vibe. And I think I was wrong. Flat out, I think I was wrong. I think we're seeing aircraft being bought and sold, and I think people are getting ready, because this is going to be an exciting unlimited field team selection year. You know, we have WAC coming to the United States.
That's going to be freaking awesome.
Yeah, I think you know, these things that happen a couple years ahead make it, people start making the moves early and get ready and kind of get in position to make something happen when things like that happen. You know, like when Advance was in Gene, you know, it's just like, you just knew that it was going to be more exciting in the US than other years. You just knew it.
Yeah.
And it didn't disappoint. That's for sure. Nationals did not disappoint in that regard.
Yeah, it's going to keep getting better and better.
Seems like it. Yeah, it really does seem like it. What are your thoughts? Like, so, okay, two questions, and I want you to put your advanced competitor hat on, but then I want you to put your unlimited hat on. You're on the advanced team. It's damn near February, and you have a date of Hungary, or I'm sorry, a location of Hungary for WAC in September. You were probably worried that there wasn't a date, and that the deadline was coming up to be able to, you know, kind of make something happen in time. Although it's, you know, granted it's 7 months out, but you know, when you start walking back, shipping airplanes, getting ready, you know, and doing it right, I would say that there's not a panic right now. I think things are gonna happen, right? Yeah. What are your thoughts on that though? Like, are you, if you're on the advanced team and it's February and you know you got to be to Hungary in September, where's your head at?
I don't know. I mean, it looks like the team is really together. I mean, they did a couple of camps already down south.
Yeah.
So, and
by the way, I love the coverage of all that. Super fun paying attention to that. So thank you. I think probably Monique is probably doing a lot of that in terms of the social media stuff, posting the camps. Mm-hmm. If she's not, my apologies, but thank you if you are.
Yeah. So I think that they probably heard where it was going to be 90% earlier, that they can count on it. But yeah, I think they're just going full force on it. And I don't know. I mean, it's going to be a contest, and I think that they definitely have a lot of killers on the team.
This is a real solid advanced team.
Yeah. A lot of experience too.
Uh-huh.
You know, so I think they're going to do well, and I hope they have fun. I mean, it's got to be fun at the end of the day too.
Yeah.
And, you know, as far as Unlimited goes, it's like, you know, we deal with this every year with winter. Well, Unlimited is a year and a half out.
Yeah.
So like plenty of time to grow. And I think that you're going to see like, you know, people on the advanced team and people coming up through advanced that, you know, have been flying a lot. And I think you're going to see a real spike in ability. And I think what it comes down to is just who they're going to be training with as far as coaches or other pilots to fine tune the presentation aspect of it. Because, you know, once you get the figures nailed, it's great. It's super, you know, euphoric, but each of those figures has, I mean, I'm so, whatchamacallit, I don't have the experience that others do, but from what I've been doing and seeing is each individual figure has, gosh, at least a half a dozen ways how you want to fly it. in front of a judge, depending on, you know, positioning. So like, just because you could do a certain figure doesn't mean that it's going to score, you know, well. You got to really figure out how to make it look good for the judges. And that's a whole nother, you know, aspect of flying the unlimited catalog. So
yeah,
I'm excited for that. You know, I kind of, with the little bit I was able to fly, made myself go through the catalog a little bit and got the figures going a little bit. So now I'm just flying them differently in all different aspects, just in case, however they pop up in these free unknowns.
Amazing. Amazing. Yeah,
so I'm excited for it because like last year, well, really beginning of last year, I was still learning, obviously.
Yeah.
And obviously, you know, still always learning, but I wouldn't say making it through, but you know, learning new figures and flying them. So now, you know, I haven't learned all the figures, but a good amount of them, I would say. And what's really fun now is, you know, I'm kind of going out there. I'm not really worried about hitting a certain rotation or a certain maneuver. I'm more concerned, okay, like how do I want to put the airplane to make it look like it's argument's like vertical or whatever, or over under type of things, like with flicks and stuff. Like how do I want to position this flick instead of being like, how do I get this flick to flick? So you know, it's just another level of progression. You know, like we talked about multiple times on the podcast where it's like, you know, it's this endless chase, you know, so you work and you figure out how to fly a figure and it's super rewarding and you're super happy and it, you know, lasts a little bit. And then the next day you move on to the next figure and it's, you know, a little bit of frustration and whatever. And you build up on that. So like now it's like, okay, like that, my presentation is not so great. So now I just got to keep building up and practicing and getting to that euphoric kind of presentation goal of being able to nail it. Like Rob and, you know, AJ and obviously Bourbon, good, all the greats, right? Like they're not going into these sequences, you know, analyzing it a specific rotation within a figure. Like they're you know, they got to remember the figure and fly the figure. But like their main thing is like, where do I want to put this thing? And how right. do I need?
They've
to,
moved past that. It's almost like a root. That's like not entry level thinking, but like kind of novice level thinking in that regard.
Yeah.
Whereas like they've already done that. You're thinking about where to place it in the box.
Yeah. And the best thing, I mean, one of the, I don't know what you would call it, but memorable, right? Like, and the best way I can tell somebody to understand how presentation works is to sit on the Y, don't sit on the X. So if you get an opportunity to see like somebody like a Bourbon or obviously like a Rob, you know, see if you can go to a Nationals or wherever they're flying and sit on the Y boundary. So you know, they're coming at you most of the time.
Yeah.
And you can really start seeing the cheats. And it's like, holy shit. You know, and that's why like a lot of times, like you go to a contest and you're standing, say 150 yards away from the judges line, you're watching somebody fly and you're like, that wasn't that great. And that, you know, and I watched this person from the same position and he flew better and blah, blah, blah. And the video looked, it's like, yeah, but like, the judge's perspective is all that matters.
It's and
like
matters.
To make a comment like that, it kind of shows your, I don't know, experience or knowledge, you know, because like, you know, all that matters is that judging zone and where, and the angle that you're giving them to look at you.
Yeah.
And how you're positioning the plane so that whatever angle they're seeing you, it looks perfect to them. And it probably is going to feel something, you know, it's going to feel like shit in the plane a lot of times. And
it's going to look like shit in the airplane too.
Yeah. And like, but it's going to score really fucking well. So like, I mean, even personally speaking, you know, I love, love, love watching people fly from the Y boundary. I absolutely love it because you can, you know, it's like sitting on the, it's like sitting on a judge's line next to a very good judge. Like you just, it's like, it's going to school. You just, the knowledge and what you can learn, you know, just looking and then also, you know, just the kind of ADD a little bit here, you know, sit on the judge's line next to a judge who's good. You know, if you don't know who's a good judge, go ask, you know, one of the greats, you know, that are super approachable, like a goodie, you message them or whatever, and they'll tell you who's a good judge in a nice way, and like sit next to that person and just fucking listen, ask maybe a smart question that whatever, but listen, you know, and
yeah,
you'll learn so much, like, and you can apply that to your flying, like, easily. Yeah. Like, oh, like, you're in the front of the box, why are you so high that my neck is like fucking crushing me? Or like, see how this person's flying and they're just using, you know, going all the way to the upwind for no reason, and everything is so spread out. Like, you want to keep, you know, whatever it is, like, you know, whatever your style is or whatever you think is going to score well. But like, you know, you can learn so much, and that's has nothing to do with running gas through a tank.
Right. Yeah. Has little to do with even hopping in an airplane. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you know, people think like I've flown like thousands of hours. Like I was looking at the pack the other day. It's got, and mind you, like, I kind of repetitive about this, but like, I have like 300 something hours on my airplane. And like, how many times have I been to fucking Western Kansas, Oshkosh, Florida, Nationals? Like,
yeah.
You know, like, I just spent, yeah. I love the groundwork. I really love the groundwork. Cause like, what's the, you know, I used to do that with the 200, you know, you go up, you beat your brains out and learn nothing, no plan, no nothing.
Yeah.
You know, and this is like, you know, it is a little bit, you know, and like with this, it's like you go there, you work the ground and, you know, you do your walkthroughs and your visualizations and all the stuff, and you go up, and usually like most of the time, you during that flight, you know, there's something that you could take away from it in a positive way. Like, you learn, there's a progression, you know, there's never a dip for the most part, you know, and, you know, to me, I don't know. That's just the way I like to do things. And that's what I like. Some people just fucking love landing, filling up and going out there, landing, filling up. And, you know, that might work for them, but
yeah.
Yeah.
You're almost a better aerobatic pilot if you are a better academic than you are loving flying in some ways,
because like, you can't figure it out in the air while you're flying. Like,
yeah.
You have to, I mean, trying to phrase it, because I'm sure there's an asterisk, and there's certain cases. Yeah, I get it. You know, you need somebody at the airplane with you up there, and you got to blah 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 blah. I get it. But once you get to the point where you're, you know, like, you're getting ground coaching and stuff like that, and you're able to be able to figure shit out, you know, because a lot of the unlimited stuff is like, you can't, you don't want to be a mechanical pilot, you know, so you got to, you know, feel the airplane a little bit and learn how to figure shit out. And, you know, like, unless you understand it and work it out on the ground, it's going to be a very frustrating, you know, journey, in my opinion. But,
That's one of the things that impressed me about AJ, when I first met him in person, was, him carrying a notebook around everywhere. I mean, just like, it was like his blankie. You know what I mean? It was just like, I've got this notebook that I can refer to, because he journals. He obviously writes down everything that, you know, how did this flight go? What did I do? How did it look? And you have this like reference, right? And, you know, between walking sequences and dissecting figures and gates and all that stuff. But like, just having this, like, okay, I've been doing it like this. How does this look? Or, you know, having that reference and having that kind of academic side, to me, makes so much sense. It's, you know, it's hard, because it's like, you think, yeah, you just want to go up and you just want to go up and fly. The more you fly, the better you get. Yeah. And it's like, that's not always the case.
Yeah. Like, it depends. And it also depends, like, what are your goals, right? Like, do you have an airplane? You like flying acro, you know, partially general and aerobatics, and you like to hit a contest one or two days a week. It's like, okay, like, yeah, you're
yeah,
not
you don't
gonna
need to go
fuck
that.
It. Yeah. You're not going to stay on get to the airport and do like 50 walkthroughs and sit in the chair, close your eyes and
look at the chalkboard.
Yeah. Like, that's probably not going to be what you want to do. Yeah. So like, but like, you know, don't expect to fucking go in there and crush the contest, you know?
Yeah.
So, but like, that's what your enjoyment is. Like, you know, that's what you can allocate, or that's where you want to go. So like, expectations are something you definitely got to consider, but I think a lot of people, they kind of depend on like, and, you know, I think I fell victim to this earlier on too, where, you know, you depend on going to somebody like, just tell me what to do. It's like, well, at the beginning, yeah, like you got to, it's good to have a foundation and get that from somebody who's experienced and who knows what they're talking about. But after, you know, you get that foundation, you know, you got to find, you know, you got to find your juju. You got to figure out what works for you specifically to get the fullest potential. Like, because in my opinion, I think everybody's is different, you know, maybe more so than others, but like, you know, gosh, like how, and it all has to do with before the flight and, you know, and all that kind of stuff at the higher levels, I think. And you gotta find how you get in the zone, right? And, you know, how are you feeling that day? Or maybe your nutrition is off that day. How do you adjust that? And what time, you know, there's all these different variables. And then like the flying 7 minutes, you know, 6-7 minutes, whatever it is.
Yeah.
It's nothing, you know,
it's
but like,
it's the smallest portion of this. It's the smallest like, component.
Yeah. The night before or whatever, at the very least, you know, like, what are you, how's your sleep or all the hydration? Like, there's just so many things to like, so like if you, it sounds like, crazy to some people, or it sounds whatever it is, but you know, if you can try to maximize your potential in every single sector, every area before the flight to get yourself in the zone, because you know, I was just talking to somebody else like the other day, because my kid swims and he's doing really well, and you know, he's been winning a decent amount, and you know, I don't want him to get a big head. And it's similar to like with nationals and or whatever, you know, you go to a regional, you win. And it's like, well, it doesn't mean you're the best pilot or, in, you know, my son Mason's case, swimmer. But like, you were just the best that day. Like, that's all that was, you know, and like,
there's some, you know, fortune involved.
Exactly. There's a lot of variables. So like, mm-hmm. you know, with acro, like, you know, there's people, and we've talked about on the podcast that have world championship winning flights in their backyard, and like that's fucking great.
Yeah,
but like, you know,
yeah, some of the best flights that's ever happened have probably never been seen.
Yeah, 100%. And that's why like it gives you a better understanding of like, you know, competition and nationals, you know, for acro, where like it's not, you know, just, you got to be ready and you got to train and you got to be ready with the flying, right? But you know, if you don't have a game plan for your psyche and how to get, you know, the jitters out, getting the zone, whatever you want to call it, then, you know, you bet your ass that there's somebody that's doing it already. And yeah. that's a leg up on you. So like, you know, I love that aspect of it. I think that there are certain pilots out there right now that would skyrocket because they have tremendous ability. But, you know, just in my fucking elementary opinion, I think their mind game is not so great.
Yeah.
And they just don't know. They don't know at all how, what it could do for them. You know, not in a bad way, not in like a ignorant or an egotistical way. They just never had experience to it. And to me, it just blows my mind, you know, even with the few people that the little bit of training I've done with the guys here, like, you know, I kind of did it how basically I'm doing everything I wish I could. If I can go back in time and retrain myself is what I'm doing. And man, like they are doing fucking phenomenal, like absolutely phenomenal. And like very little time. I'm talking like between 40 and 50 flights on one person who's flying at a really great level and like not mechanical, like knowing where he is all the time, knowing where to look all the time. You know, checking gates, checking speeds, little bit of parallax stuff, like, and like 40, whatever it is, flights, like there's nothing.
Yeah, that's, it's, you know? Not. Yeah, really.
But like, dude, like quadruple on the ground.
Yeah.
And, yeah. You know, and it's good because like, you know, very little frustration, you know, when we learn like a new figure or something, like it's tough in the beginning. You know, but like it's a quick acceleration, especially at the level, at the lower levels. But like, you know, like we're just constantly like getting something out of each flight instead of being like, all right, let's go up and we're going to do blah, blah, blah. And I'll explain it in the air. Like, Sure. That ought to work great. That ought to work really good.
Yeah, that only goes so far. I mean, that's a very low level acceptable form of training. I mean, that can't go that I don't even know if that can go beyond. I mean, even intermediate, I think that's a real, you can't, yeah, I just can't.
Yeah. But even
things
so,
happen
like
too quick in the upper levels too.
Even so, like when you get like fresh meat, right? And you just teach them things, you know, things that are relatively simple that carried our way through Unlimited. Like as far as, for example, so like where to look during a figure and everything like that. Like you'd be shocked. I watch videos online and everything. And, you know, I watch people do certain things and, you know, my modest opinion or whatever, just like totally like tunnel visioned and just have no, you know, almost no idea where they are.
Yeah.
And like it sucks kind of like seeing that. And it's like, man, like such a basic principle, you know, where, when, how, like all these things are, you know,
it teaches somebody like, how to look and where to look on a loop. I know it's a complex figure to score, but it's a basic figure. It's an extremely basic single axis figure. Right. And it takes so many, that's a perfect example. You cannot hop in the airplane and be like, okay, you're going to look here until then. And then you're going to look here. And then when we get to here, you're going to look here. You say that during the loop, it's scrambled eggs. It's no idea. And then if they don't learn how to look right early on during those basic fundamental figures, you can see people that, like, I mean, I'm sure, you know, don't get me wrong. Nobody at the upper levels needs to sight off the left wing for a loop, right? You guys know what vertical is. You can set vertical with your foot properly. You know what I mean? So you're not dragging a wing by then, because you've done hundreds of thousands of them. But, you know, when you're learning, it is fascinating to watch where people want to look and how wrong it can be sometimes. And then they don't look, and then they don't fly the figure right.
Yeah. I mean, I would love to get my hands on somebody who's kind of fresh to advanced and just like, you know, I could like almost tell somebody like, that guy's like, he's got so much potential, like blah, blah, blah. I would love to get that and just freaking like work him on the ground.
What's the figure in advanced where it's a tell, right? Where like, you see that, you're like, okay, like figure wise, they can fly it, but that kind of academic thing, that component of like, they don't know where they are. They're not looking at this thing. So the figure is manifesting itself in a certain way. What is there a specific figure that you can think of
that tells like the guy or girl's good,
or that they have the potential, but that they missed a fundamental thing along the way in terms of like where to look. Something
I don't
like
know.
That.
I think there's, yeah, exactly. So like with like where to look and stuff like that, or where you're looking, I think you could tell a lot too, like when people get to a line, like how to get to a line, but say they establish, I don't know, like a 45, right? And like they lock it in a little bit. And then like you can literally tell when they take their eyes off the sighting device because the plane moves, as opposed to like, you know, and you know, for me at least, what works for me is I like to try to keep my eyes on the device as long as possible before, and then obviously eyes forward during a rotation. So like, you know, you'll see a guy on a 45 or something like that, the plane establishes the line, and then all of a sudden it comes off the line, and then 2 seconds later there's like a half roll, and then, you know, the plane steepers, what, the line's all fucked up. And you know, it's something as simple as just keep your eyes on it, then like right before you roll, eyes forward, roll, then back to sighting device and don't let it move, and then eyes forward and pull. So like, you know, because there's a lot of different theory, and I don't have, that could be completely wrong, but I like it, and it seems to work. And you know, I've done it with the other guys, and they did really good at nationals. And to me, if you can fly like just basics, just fly very strong lines, you know, keep the line. You know, I hate that saying on rails, but like don't yeah. let the, if you can watch somebody, like to me, you know, when I love watching people in whatever airplane, and when they establish a vertical or 40, whatever the line is, horizontal, the plane does not, it doesn't move. Like it's just there, it sticks. So like the rotation can be an okay rotation, right? But the 45 or whatever, it's extremely strong. The figure is going to score really well, you know, all things considered with positioning. But you can have somebody who can, you know, say, do an amazing, amazing flick, right? On a 45, but the line before, the line after, the plane's move, and this and that. So like the flick, yeah, it's a great flick, but the line in the figure, it's all shot. It's a shit yeah. figure, you know? So like, to me, if what I would like, what I like seeing, and I think what's kind of been proven to score well, are these guys that, you know, like the goodies and or the, like they get to a line and the plane sticks. It just doesn't, it doesn't go shallow, it doesn't go steep, it just sticks, you know, and it looks super easy, right? Like what it, but like they're,
well, they
their
make head it look easy.
Yeah, their head movement, yeah. their eyes, like, you know, there's all these little bullshit, not bullshit, all these little nuances that they're doing to not let the airplane move, because it just, you know, they constantly, you know, with airspeed and I don't know, flight, you know, aerodynamic factors that are coming into play here, they're working against it to not let the airplane move. So it's a lot easier said than done. But to answer your question, like, you know, there's people that can get to a line strong, and it's like a simple fix of don't move your head, just leave it there, hold it. Okay, now, and all of a sudden the figure goes from like a X score to, you know, 0.5 or 1.5, whatever it is. And the figure just looks strong. You know, it's yeah. not a rushed figure, and they're, you know, the airplane's solid.
Yeah.
So I don't know. That could be completely wrong, but I think it works, and I think it makes sense. But and I'm sure people can add to it or take away from it.
I love it. I like that.
And that's all like foundational that. Stuff. Like that's before basic. Like flying a strong level line.
Yeah.
You know, there's an art to it. Like where. Especially like where you are in a box and, you know, with parallax and not looking like you're climbing or descending too much, you know, things like that, like a level line. Like there's people that flying intermediate that haven't been coached on flying a level line.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh, it's level. It's like, no, that's your, it's not perfect. It's not consistent. It's, you know, and it's, you have to fly differently when you're in the back or in the front or high or whatever. Like, it's not just a level line. So, like, level lines and all these lines, like, that's all, you know, carries right through unlimited. So now, like, you get to unlimited or advanced, right? And you got to relearn how to fly a level line.
Yeah.
That's fucking crazy.
Yeah, that must be such a mind fuck. When, like, you got to learn, like, basic. You got to learn lines.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's true.
So like if you have a
and it must show even more in those categories too. It's like, oh, like there's a basic, there's a you know, flicks are great, but there's holes in like the basics.
Yeah. I mean, we talked about this too. Like every year once we come out of hibernation here, like I love going out because they're somewhat easy goals to, you know, I like hitting my goals and like, you know, the first whatever week or flights back, you know, it's all just like lines and, you know, they're, to me, it's, you know, it's the rust comes off pretty fast and, yeah. you know, you feel accomplished and your lines get strong and you make sure that you're on point. And then you just, you know, build up, do more, a little bit more here, this flight, a little bit more here. And, you know, you just keep hitting your goals. And, if you don't have that foundation, it's like, God, man, you're just giving away 3 points, you know, like why give away all that money?
Yeah. It's a waste at that point, right?
Yeah. It's and they just don't know. Like people just, they don't, maybe they've been told it and their ego gets in the way. Hopefully that's not the case, but some people just unfortunately just don't know. But I think it helps. I mean, you watch like, gosh, you watch Craig fly. Like I watched him fly at Nationals, man. And like, guy's just fucking solid as a rock on every line. Plane just the plane's moving or during a radius or whatever, and then he gets to the line and it just like it sticks, doesn't move, and like it's not fucking easy.
Yeah,
at least, you know, maybe I'm hypercritical on myself, but like, you know, you're trying to be perfect every line, and it's hard. It's really hard, you know, when you factor in positioning and what figures next and an unknown or whatever. You know, you get three free unknowns to fly. So, you know, it's a new sequence, where you are in the box, you know, what kind of parallax you got to throw on top of it, you know, how tight, how long you got to be on that line. You know, there's so many things, like, and it's like, you know, so like level lines or whatever have to be, you can't think about that shit.
Yeah.
Like it's got to be imprinted from the beginning. So like, you know, these guys that we're training here, it's like, you know, I'm jealous of them to the fact that like they're basically saving themselves decades of frustration.
Well, it's time and money.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and you start looking at that, you know, I'm sure that feeling of like, why am I not progressing, or why, how do these others seemingly do it with less gas in the tank?
Yeah.
Or less gas through the tank, I should say.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really that secret sauce. I mean, I think we've looked at it with the French for a long time, whereas you can see how little they fly. Yeah.
You know, it's like they just have such, you know, obviously the coaching
everything's
on the ground
locked.
And yeah, it's just like their foundation, like they haven't been taught the wrong way. They haven't like, you know, I don't think we've ever really spoken like this, but like they haven't ever really had to unfuck themselves from learning something wrong.
They don't learn bad habits.
They have no bad habits.
Yeah.
You know, we have fucking, I'm filled.
I am literally one big bad habit. I'm sure everything I do is wrong. And
I sweat bad habits.
Yeah. Yeah.
I eat bad habits for breakfast.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But
do you think, do you think Craig is, you think we're going to see Celebrity and Craig and who, maybe whomever else, you see any unlimited team in the future?
I think
this year?
Portion. Yeah. I think a good portion of the, advanced team is going to do, well and unlimited. I'm sure that they're training up for it. And, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of great pilots in America right now. And I think that, you know,
dude, that's a good point, or just a good statement. I mean, it goes without saying, but it does bear stating. There's a really good crop of high level pilots in America right now.
Yeah. And I think what's fixed it is like, you know, with the explosion of social media within the acro world, which, you know, is a little bit boomer and took a little bit to get onto, but you know, we kind of beat the dead horse with the fact that with these European countries like Germany and France, like they're very small countries in relation to the United States. So they can, you know, they're physically in the same area a lot of times, so they can feed off each other with information. Right. Whereas like, you know, Aaron McCartan, who's a wealth of knowledge on acro, is in Iowa, you know, so he's not really surrounded by a lot of people. But now that like, you know, with social media, cell phone, and all this stuff, like everybody's able to reach out and be like, no, this works. Oh, do this. Oh, do this. And I think that's how we're seeing, you know, an uptick in, you know, ability and in the pilots here. I think that's why we're getting good. We're kind of getting rid of all the bad habits. And we're also, people are being educated on relatively simple stuff from an earlier age in their flying career or aerobatic career on what to do, instead of like spending 5 years figuring it out, still falling in love with aerobatics, and then finally getting a coach, which isn't even advertised. Like you got to know three people and talk to a guy in a yellow raincoat at McDonald's to find out where to go. Yeah. And then going to that coach and spending the next year, not really learning or progressing too much, but like undoing the rats.
Unfucking yourself to their style. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So like, I think we're seeing a lot of people that got into the sport relatively like in the past 3 years that are excelling at a what looks to be a rapid rate, but they're just learning correctly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
do you think we're going to see Obviously this doesn't replace an in-person training camp for the team for in terms of like team cohesion and things like that. But do you think that with AcroWorks, do you think we're going to see the ability to where, you know, let's give a hypothetical that, you know, Aaron makes the unlimited team, Celebrity makes the unlimited team, Gifford makes the unlimited team, maybe Cal Collins makes the unlimited team. And then obviously, you know, maybe out of, you know, if Goody comes back or Berman, Holland, they're spread out
big
literally coast to coast.
Unlimited.
It's going to be a huge Nationals for unlimited. Do you think we see AcroWorks be brought into the fold in terms of maybe remote training camps to where you guys can all fly at your home base? Obviously, weather permitting. And then maybe have a day where you're critiquing yourself remotely.
I think it's via Zoom
or something like that.
Yeah, it's kind of occurring already a little bit. And I don't know. It's like you got to have the right people to know what they're looking at because it's not the same as being on the ground to an extent. Like you got to.
It's not a judge's perspective, really, I guess, huh?
Yeah, like, you got Rob who uses the AcroWorks and, you know, to its fullest potential and understands it. And Rob's a super, super intelligent person. So, you know, he's able to analyze it and kind of there's a way to look at it where you kind of self-establish what's you could take away from being on the ground in real life versus the computer and kind of mesh the two. Cause he's got so much experience being on the ground.
Yeah.
So, you know, you got a guy like that, who's just so much time in the program that can do it. And you have a guy like me who has little to no time in the program where it's like, okay, well the lines are lining up on the AcroWorks, but like to tell somebody like, oh, you're shallow here. Like, I don't know. I don't have enough experience with the program to like, put it up against real life, you know, of me being on the ground. Like I'm not good enough to do that. So I think it depends to answer your question. I think it depends like who's actually watching your AcroWorks flight. You know, is it somebody who's got like 5 hours of experience watching it or somebody like Rob who's got 10,000 hours of experience watching the virtual stuff and knowing really what you can truly take away from it.
And what the perspective needs to look like. Yeah. Yeah. That's a good point.
Yeah. Cause you can really, you know, mess somebody up by giving them wrong instruction. Cause all of a sudden, like, you're like, oh, you're, you know, the simple case here, you're the program showing you're, you know, 2 degrees positive when your vertical lines up. And like, what's to say that person's, you know, perfect. And now all of a sudden now they just, I'm training themselves to be negative up, you know?
Yeah.
But that's really not a judging thing. That's, I guess that's the mouth on the box. See, like, I don't know. So like, it's.
But the box, I think this would be a great question for Paulo. And I'm sure if he's listening to this, he's going to be screaming at his computer. But, you know, in terms of like judges' perspective, I don't know that it accounts or can account for that.
No, so it does. It does to like a really high level, like because you could place yourself on the ground and you could see the parallaxes, but like, to what extent, you know, because like the way that the models are in the airplane, no offense to anybody, but they're not like, you know,
they're mounted
way.
But
the actual like image coming across, like, isn't like a high definition, say airplane, right? It's like Super Nintendo kind of thing. So like,
no, and you can't see control input either.
You know, is the camber, like the extras have like a slight camber on the bottom of the wing, it looks like, or, you know, this what airplane has the pits has a certain shape on the belly, like all those little factors. Once you start getting into it, like, you know, so like if you tell a person to be over on a rotation to look, you know, 90 degrees or whatever, you know, is exactly how much you want that person to do. And like, do you want them to train to the program or train to your eye on the ground? So I think it can get to the person teaching them like, okay, like see how this looks, like, well, let's fine tune this when I'm at camp. But like, you're being over a lot on your, you know, your quarter rolls or whatever. So like, I think it can help, you know, let a coach know before going to a camp of how you are and then like fine tune it at the camp.
Yeah.
So, but like, I'm not a software guy and like, I certainly appreciate it. I wish I was smarter at it, but the program is worth its weight in diamonds.
I agree.
I will say that, you know, it is just, he really did, he did the community a service with this thing, man. Like, yeah, he's an incredible dude, and it's an incredible idea and an incredible, you know, product.
Well said, my friend. Well said. Anything else before we wrap up?
No, man. Just going to go jump into sauna.
Ooh, dude, I should go. Man, I should heat my sauna up, dude. Do a little freaking sauna.
You sounds so good fitness, right now. Grab an STD, hit up the sauna.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. No, I literally have a sauna at my house. I've used it twice. It's embarrassing.
I hear it's good for you.
It is. Yeah, super great for you. I might heat that up today. That sounds kind of nice. Let's sweet.
Like FaceTime each other while we're saunaing.
It's just a little sauna. a little freaking fly cool sauna.
Yeah, no homo.
Yeah, yeah. I love it. All right. Well, thanks, guys, for listening. Thank you to Lyft Aviation. They're going to be, by the way, I see that they're going to be at NWOC, which is in Dallas, not this weekend, but next weekend. It's the National Warbird Operator Conference. So that's the big, kind of the big Warbird operator gathering. Lyft's going to be there. They got a bunch of helmets back in stock. The AV2.1s are coming back, but they have basically everything else, carbons and colors of the AV1. 0.1 and 1.2 back in stock. So go check them out at NWOC. Tell them we said hi. Go buy some shoes and some helmets and good stuff from them. LyftAviationUSA.com. Use the promo code FlyCoolShit at checkout for 25% off most items. Flagon merch, best clothing in the game. Go to flagonmerch.com. Use the promo code ACRO for 10% off the entire website. There's some new stuff dropping. Rob was sending us some pictures and colorways that he's asking our opinions on, and check the website for some cool stuff coming up. Yeah, and then go buy some shittier shirts from FlyCoolShit, flycoolshit.com/merch. That helps keeps the lights on, and I think we'll talk to y'all next week.
See you.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Fly Cool Shit. Be sure to check out our website at www.flycoolshit.com. Subscribe, rate, and review the show on iTunes and Spotify. Any questions, comments, or feedback, shoot us an email at flycoolshit@gmail.com.